Sunday, it's beautiful out, and I'm in the office cranking away. Not cranking, you're thinking about, like, actual work. But I wanted to discuss three things that were brought to my attention within the past couple of days, and I know I haven't gotten on here and done a video in a while. I've been very busy. I did do the live from the first ever Street Academy class that we gave. That was really good. Turned out really well. Learned some things. We're going to tailor it a little bit, make it a nice, real smooth program for everybody. Hopefully you guys tuned in. I left one of the videos up. Let me just hit that. Hey, left one of the videos up for you guys to watch and get a feel for it. If you tuned in that morning or right into the next day, I left all the videos up. Some of the audio didn't come out good, but I couldn't control that. We didn't have good service inside of the Madison Police Department. Nobody's fault. So today I'm going to discuss three different topics. The first one. All right, this was interrupted. I'm sorry. The first topic we're going to talk about today is first topic today, we're going to talk about questionings. Somebody on a motor vehicle stop. What's the questions you can ask? Where the case laws that comes from? And if anybody disagrees with this, like guys will call me like, oh, my supervisor said that this isn't true or that's not true. You don't have to argue with me. I don't need to call them and say, this is true. I don't argue with supervisors. I try to educate. It's not an argument. This is just people getting educated. You don't have to argue with me. You don't have to not believe me. Read the case law. Then find something that contradicts it. When you have something that contradicts what I teach, then I'll change it. But until then, I don't think anybody has anything different. The Supreme Court has not come out with anything differently. So I don't know where people get this stuff in their mind. Stop listening to what others are telling you, especially supervisors who are listening to other people, and just read. Just read the cases. It's not hard to figure out. There doesn't have to be debates about things. There doesn't have to be a midnight muster discussion regarding stuff. It's just like Google. You just type it in, look for it. Here's the case. And that ends it. Just ends it. So I don't make this stuff. I'm merely just giving it to you, right? So let's talk about three cases and the questioning you can have in a motor vehicle stop. Oh, we talked about taxi interdiction. I got to write that down. Let me just write down what I'm going to do. Taxi interdiction. All right. And then we're going to talk about reasonable suspicion, what that is, and the questions you can ask. So I kind of want to do it in the other way, but since we're already this far down the road, I'm going to just go over these couple cases with you guys. So State v. Chapman. And I will put the link up there for that. And I know we've addressed some of these subjects, but some guys are really, these are ones that I'm constantly getting persistent questions on. People always asking about these things. What can a police officer do on a motor vehicle stop? They may request a motorist driver's credential, should advise the motorist for the reason to stop, doesn't have to, the language is not present, may run a computer check, and may ask questions reasonably related to the reason for the traffic stop. Inconsistent or contradictory answers provided by the vehicle's occupants may then permit an officer to broaden the inquiry and ask more intrusive questions designed to confirm and dispel suspicions of criminal activity, and may issue a citation. Now, when you walk up to a car and you're already developed, remember, reasonable suspicion starts before the motor vehicle stop. Sometimes you just have a motor vehicle stop, and as you walk up, reasonable suspicion or even probable cause kicks in at that point, probable cause to search. So there could be a lot of different scenarios and circumstances when this all comes into place, okay? Next case, say New Jersey v. Hickman. When the police lawfully conduct a motor vehicle stop, they may question the occupants, even on a subject unrelated to the purpose of the stop, without violating the Fourth Amendment, so long as such questioning does not extend the duration of the stop. Now, it's pretty clear. You can ask questions as long as you're not prolonging the stop without reasonable suspicion, just basic questions. You haven't developed reasonable suspicion. Remember, at the point you have reasonable suspicion, you can ask for consent to search and call for a canine unit. Of course, you can ask questions. All right, of course. I mean, how silly. All right, and then State v. Pegues, 2002. State trooper was entitled to question the occupants concerning their recent whereabouts while he waited for the results of the computer check. Since the registered owner was not present and neither of the occupants were able to present a driver's license or any other form of identification. So there's a lot of cases that are saying they're real pro-cop and they're saying, look, we get it. You know, if it's – they're just trying to say the difference is between phishing and actually doing police work. What they're telling you they don't want you to do is run your little radar unit, whatever you're doing, guy comes by doing 42 and a 25, you pull him over, you have not built anything up other than the fact that he was speeding, and that's a reason for your stop. You're not building any case. You're not really catching on to anything. All right, so again, back to what I was saying is you're allowed to ask questions on motor vehicle stop. I would love to hear if one person ever ever was questioned about the question they asked was no good, or was it too intrusive on a motor vehicle stop, especially when you have a bunch of red flags going up of reasonable suspicion and probable cause. I actually discussed this with my friend of mine who's an attorney. He's a very, very good attorney. We were laughing about this and how people are concerned with the stupidest shit. There's no reason to Monday morning quarterback these things. If somebody's doing something that you believe is illegal conduct, then of course it has to be addressed. But if cops are going out and doing what seems to be straight up good police work, like what are we getting into here? If your agency's really, really breathing down your throat about silly stuff, transfer. Stop. If they're not behind you and they're not going to support you, just be careful. People have ulterior motives. I don't know what the mentality is. Maybe they just come out and say, look, we don't want cops doing motor vehicle stops in this town. You're working for the wrong agency. But for the people who are watching who are supervisors, try to understand what your officers are doing. I know that you may be a sergeant or lieutenant, and you've never done drug stops, but it doesn't mean the person who's doing them doesn't know what they're doing. Just so you know, right? That's just be real clear on that. Do your homework, brush up, supervise in the right direction, but know what you're talking about. You know, just don't just make something up or discuss it, and that's what you guys came up with collectively. Just read it. There's case law on it. Now we'll go into reasonable suspicion. What reasonable suspicion is? Again, reasonable suspicion can start from the point when a motor vehicle sights a law enforcement officer. Okay, you could be have a car having reaction to a presence. All these things can be going on. It can happen when the car is being stopped. It can happen as the officer is walking up to the car, and it can happen during the dialogue or the course of the motor vehicle stop. And reasonable suspicion is just that something is, as easy as I can explain it, that something's not right. This is not a typical motor vehicle stop where you've stopped the car and, you know, normal conduct is going on. The person, I'm sorry, officer, here's your license, registration, insurance. You know, they're not. Nothing else is strange. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I was speeding. I'll just wait here for my ticket. You know, it is. There's a lot of things. And most guys don't realize, and girls, that they're seeing a lot of reasonable suspicion before they stop a car. And that's kind of what the two-day course is about, to help you recognize that. Now, when you have reasonable suspicion, it's really not. You're not going to project what you're going to get out of the car. You just know something's wrong. Could you imagine trying to be like a mind reader? Like, oh, I think they have drugs. Oh, I think they have stolen equipment. I mean, I can tell you the times I've had things that I thought were drugs going on, and they end up being like a kidnapping or somebody helping a child escape home at 15 or something like that. Or it could be stolen items in the trunk of a car when I was looking for drugs. And I found, obviously, everybody's gonna have the same reactions when they're engaged in criminal activity. You don't know what you're going to get. I've had people who are doing simple, small things. I tell a story in the class of how we were watching cars on Route 1, and car comes by, tap, 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 brakes are going off. They see our car. They have a reaction to our presence. We stop the car, and it's a 13-year-old driving the car, right? Nervous wreck, having the same reaction, engaged in some kind of illegal activity. You'll get this with people with warrants, people with suspended licenses. You're going to come across that. It's all part of the game in this as far as criminal interdiction. But reasonable suspicion is really vague. It's just that something's not right. It's not, nothing's adding up here. It doesn't make sense. You can't poke or try to guess at what this is going to be. Doesn't work that way, right? So if you never have done this kind of work, try to understand what people are doing out there. Try to understand what your coworkers are doing, and maybe ask them, hey, what did you see? What went on here? Let's not just make stuff up collectively on what you think it should be. Guys are doing this kind of work across the state, and girls, and everything's fine. Why, when it comes to your town, you're a wreck about it? You don't want people doing it? Just tell them. We don't want you doing this anymore. Just be straight with folks. And the last one, guy asked me about taxi interdiction. And this actually bring up my class. So let's go to this great, great concept that we have here. And although I heard recently there's another instructor out there telling people that they can't ask people in the rear seats for identification for not wearing a seatbelt. It is frightening how I'm trying to build things up and people who have never done police work unraveling everything. Okay, so stop. Know your source when you're getting educated. Me, I provide all the links here. You can read all this stuff. I can provide the cases. I provide real life experience. And there's a lot of posers out there. Be careful with your posers. Be careful with who those people are when you're going to another educational course. There's a lot of good ones out there, but there's some posers out there, and they do not have your best interests in mind. I've been doing this for 5 years, teaching and in law enforcement for over 14. So I've never had problems with this, and nobody yet over the 4,000 people we've taught have come back and said there's been any issue outside of an opinion with the training that we do. So just so you guys know, watch where you're getting your stuff from. If you read it, you'll know it. You don't have to have somebody explain it to you. I mean, I'll explain it to you. I'll give it to you the way it comes right out of the book. But be careful with your sources and who you're getting stuff from. Some people may say that about me. I really don't care. There are people who don't like this training and these videos. There are supervisors. There's administrations. There's regular cops who have been critical. It's all good. The bottom line is we're getting stuff out to people, and guys are changing and doing better work and performing better. And there's better arrests coming out of these videos. So if you don't like it, I mean, I really don't give a shit what you think. It doesn't matter to me. We can have a one-on-one with anybody anytime you want. We can pull my material out and we'll discuss it. Anybody. I've sat down with APs. I sat down with prosecutor's offices. I've sat down with attorneys. And everything's been internal. My internal affairs at the time when I was working, reviewed it 3 times. Never had a problem. Nobody ever had a problem with it. All right. So I don't know what your problem is. Anyway, back to this taxi interdiction. So we have this great thing, State versus Pierce, 39525, authorizing the arrest of for Title 39 offenses in the state of New Jersey under certain pretenses and circumstances. One is that you can't figure out who somebody is, right? So I tell guys, this is a great, great tactic in class. Years ago when I was seeing a girl who was younger than me, she said, you guys never look into taxis and everybody's moving drugs in the back of taxis. And I'm like, I never even thought about that. So in class, I talk about, if you've taken a cab before, has anybody ever worn a seatbelt in the back of a cab? Like I've been taking, I've never, nobody ever puts one on. So when you stop a car, you find your probable cause, you have a pretextual stop. You can figure out what you like about the car and then stop the car later on when you find a Title 39 violation. That just comes down to knowing Title 39 pretty well. And what I would do is then you have somebody in the back who doesn't have a seatbelt on. Certainly, it's your license. Well, I'm in the back of the cab. That's cool. Still a motor vehicle, but you'll need to provide a license. You're not wearing a seatbelt. You're subject to a summons. Now, when this person can't produce identification, you can now request identification or identifiers. And if you are not finding this person, you can take them in on an arrest because you cannot figure out who they are and they're subject to a summons. Great, great tool. Guys are riding me in with this all the time. They're getting huge arrests out of the back of taxis. They're getting people with warrants. Of course, people who are wanted and trying to lay low are going to take taxis. They're not going to be. And the question is, how are we supposed to find these people? And there might be a supervisor going, oh, I know what he's saying, but we're not doing this shit here. That's cool. That's cool. You could not do that shit there too. And we laugh about people who have taken that mindset and those measures to prevent. You're basically just helping criminals. Congratulations. Good for you. You don't want to take initiative and understand with the law and what it is you can and can't do. Be careful who you're asking about that too. Get the right answers. Don't just ask AP so-and-so who's came out of college 3 months ago and hasn't read case law since their second year of law school. I'll give it to you. You know, you need the stuff, reach out to me. I'll send it to you. It's simple.